Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His goodness that is sufficient to us all, and we are able to meet again in strength and in health. I glorify His name in the name of Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from home, Lagos, Nigeria. From my family, the Church of Jesus Christ there, and all the wonderful ministers we associate with, Brother Billy Joseph, Josiah. Pastor Josiah was down for about a year, he had stroke. We were going for a prayer meeting in Ibadan, and he was driving. So along the way, he just parked the car and decided to ease himself. Then he felt somehow, he asked the other brother to continue the driving. He sat in the car, but when he was, after 2 hours of after arrival, he was not able to make any movements. But we thank the Lord that God saved him and kept him. Last Sunday was his first time of preaching after a long time. So we thank God for Pastor Josiah. He's a gallant soldier that has stood for the truth, and these are men that are well hated, and we can understand why. The first time I came here, Brother Ben told me, he said, when you go back, look for Pastor Bill Joseph Ben Luatobi, who just passed away some few years ago, and Brother Josiah. So these three men, I went among them, and by the grace of God, we've been able to plant more churches and have some wonderful brethren, ministers, young ones coming among us and standing very strong. So we thank the Lord for all of these testimonies. I arrived on Friday in the afternoon. So I also thank the Lord for that safe travel. It was really, really a long flight. On both ends, from Lagos to Addis and Addis Ababa to Singapore. And what the Lord has been doing with us back home. Our fighting is getting lesser, and I know that it is because we are about to go home. Yes, we must always have that consciousness that we need to go home. This is not our place.
Right.
Amen. No matter how we feel, we must always have that consciousness, let it be in us that
yes,
we are going home. And so God is doing a lot of things. People are seeing, are beginning to get that boldness. Just Brother Richard was saying a moment ago, boldness. You know, that boldness of wanting to live their life for themselves. Most times these people behave the way they do because they are living for other people. You
right.
know, they would have said amen, but what would people say if I say amen to this? So they don't express themselves. They are not free. There is no liberty. And that shows that the Spirit of God is not there.
Right.
So someone gave me a call. He said, he gave a list. He said, I want these books from Richard Gann. This, he mentioned about 6 books. I replied to him, I said, yes, I have all these messages plus others. Now, but I need to know you. Do you belong to a church or you pastor a church? Can I visit you or send a minister to you? And, or better still, can you accept to come over? We will take care of the expenses. And then in all of these questions, you know, changed because he was saying, no, oh no, you can't now, or I can't also come, I don't know Lagos, and I'm in Oyo State and things. Then he said to me, brother, let me be sincere with you. I said, oh, it's good to be sincere. He said, you see, in our fellowship, we only read the message of Brother Branham. I don't know how the people will feel if we read anything else. But I've requested this message because I read something. And I said to him, I said, brother, I'll call you back. I loaded my car and I called him. And I started, you know, I spent a lot of time talking, just trying to help him to express himself. And I said to him, I will not visit you. I wouldn't want to create problems for you and the fellowship, because we also need to have wisdom in approaching people. Right. If we push so hard, we could break them.
Right.
So I said to him, you relax, but I'm going to send you the books. I'm going to put it somewhere you can come and pick it. We have a church nearby, so you come and pick those books. But as soon as you think you are free enough, you can either come to us. It's better you come to us, so you know how we are, and see and have a confirmation if we are what they say we are.
Right.
But I think we are what God says we are. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing to be. So this afternoon I'll be showing you some short video clips and photographs, just photo reports. We've been able to construct a tabernacle after a long time. It was not our priority because we were focused more on missions. But you know, if you have to go everywhere, you need to have a place back home, you know, for people to fellowship. And since the government is also clamping down, it's everywhere, churches, and they will say we are against churches and mosques and the mosques, but actually the target is against the churches. So they have specifications of how places of gathering, how it should look like, and the space for parking and everything. So we got these bricks making, manual bricks making machine. I remember that the form was sent from here straight to Kenya, but the machine came to us and not to Singapore. God bless you for that. And we've been able to use that, produce interlocking bricks that is so simple to construct a house with. I also introduced that to the Piri, and they've gotten that. And also, even to those who are very close in Uganda and Kenya, I told them, look, this is just simple. It will save us money. We use the money for the field instead of for buildings. So we just need manpower, which we have enough in Africa.
Yes.
Amen. So I thank the Lord for all of that. Also this year, I received Sister Bree, Sister Gretty, Brother Pierre, Brother JP, Ellie, Brother Tweedraki, all of them, they were in my house. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship.
Amen.
Yes. And it's a preview of what our fellowship above will look like.
Amen.
So, if the Lord tarries, if He doesn't come by April, then you are invited. Amen. Sometimes you need to leave this zone that you've known too much and come and appreciate God from another direction. It's good. It will not tear your skin, I promise you. May the Lord bless you. So my brother is requesting that I sing this song. So I'm going to sing this song before having the message this morning, as the Lord is going to help us. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Oh, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher, that is higher than I.
I'm going to hear the chorus.
Sing, and when my heart is overwhelmed, oh Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher, that is higher.
Verse 3.
For thou hast been
shelter for me. Yes, and a strong tower from the enemy.
Just one enemy.
Oh, and when my heart is overwhelmed, Jesus, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And when my heart is overwhelmed, my Jehovah lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher, that is higher than I. Higher than I.
Amen. Loveless God. I will take my text from Psalms 122, and my topic will be found there. Psalms 122, let me just read the whole of that chapter. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Forsake not the fellowship of ourselves together. That's what I want to talk about. Amen. I think that is found in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Maybe this subject is a little odd this morning. But let me read verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching. There is a day. Amen. Not the days. Amen. As you see the day approaching. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I just have a few notes here to guide us. Now, David, he was singing this song in Psalm 122. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And as you will remember, that particular time, there was no built temple in Jerusalem. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God gave Moses the commandment to instruction to build the tabernacle, which was mobile. The tabernacle moved with them wherever they were going, and it was pitched, and the people of Israel were encircle it according to the position of the tribes. So, if you also will recall, the tabernacle was not a place where people go to actually worship. The lay Israelites, did not just walk into as we came here today and will walk into the holy place, or neither will he go into the holy of holies. But they were, it was a place where the people who were called and separated to do the service of the Lord, they were there to attend to both the things of God on behalf of the people. So the worshiper comes with an offering, and he is met with the Levites outside, and he could only come as close as the table of sacrifice, where he brings the animal and then puts his hand on the head and say all that he wants to say, and the animal was sacrificed unto the Lord by the priest, not even the person who brought the sacrifice. Amen. So, but David is not talking as one who lived in that era. He is talking as one who is living in this time that we are living today.
Right.
By revelation, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, if the house of the Lord is what we saw in the wilderness, then we cannot actually go into the house of the Lord. It was not a place that we could say that we are invited to go to.
Right.
And now this is David in Jerusalem, and there was no such a place in Jerusalem. Before this time, there was a place of worship in Shiloh. It was not Jerusalem. But David is saying here, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's something we must understand. For you to have access to the house of the Lord must have access into your own house. Because the house of the Lord is actually resident in you. And that is your heart. And that is your soul. So it was with Abraham. It started with Abraham, who happened to be the father of David by generation, by genealogy. He said, Abraham, one day Moses, looking for how, and he was running away from Egypt, and looking for how he will settle the questions, the many questions in his heart, in that he was trying to do something for the Lord, and the Lord could not defend him. He was trying to help the people, and he could not get a supernatural assistance from God. And here he was, a failure, with a few sheep of his of Mr. Jethro, and moving into the desert just like that. And before now, just by a sheer coincidence or so, he saw this fire, and out of the fire, when he turned to look, a voice called him from there, Moses, Moses, put off thy sandals, for where you are standing is a holy ground. Amen. And God had to introduce himself. I am the God of thy fathers.
Amen.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I want us to consider this statement. When God said that he was the God of Abraham. Now, come back home a little. Let us be a little natural. Because this man, Abraham, whatever God told him in the natural, he spiritualized it. When God told him, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to show you a land. Abraham, in his revelation, he looked for a city. It was not written in the Old Testament that Abraham sought a city. When God told him, I'm going to give you a son, a physical son, Abraham spiritualized it and looked unto for Christ. Amen. He had it in his spirit. So, I want us to reverse it this morning so that we can have an understanding. So, whatever thing is spiritual, let us also bring it as Abraham did. He took the physical to the spiritual. Let us also bring the spiritual back to the physical and see if the word can become flesh to us and tangible for us to handle. So when God was saying to Abraham, to David, to Moses, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. If God was to be a tree standing, maybe an apple tree, and it says, I am the God of
Abraham.
It does mean that that tree belongs to Abraham. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Right.
I'm borrowing you for a while to come with me. That which is spiritual, bring it home to the physical. He introduced himself to Moses. I am the God of Abraham. I know you know that that means I'm the maker of Abraham, I'm the creator of Abraham, I'm the redeemer of Abraham, I'm the God, I'm the super force above Abraham.
Amen.
I'm the one that passed Abraham. We have that already.
Right.
But let us have something else now. If God was something that could be owned, it means Abraham owned you.
Yes.
We're going to get that. In Psalms 16, when the son of Abraham came, after many years, he made this statement. I just forgot that in Singapore, when you preach, people don't say amen. I just remembered. Sorry. Because I was looking at you to say amen, but only a few amens will come. But I dare not hear an amen when we are eating. I will revolt.
Amen.
Amen. So, Psalm 16, verse 5. David says here, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot.
Amen.
So, after many generations, here comes David proceeding from the lineage of Abraham. And he looked around all the things that men will point to and boast of possessing. I have this mansion. I have this farm. I have these many wives. I have these many children. I own this region. I am a king. I'm a prince. I got these things. They are my right. They are mine. And David looked around and he disdained all of this and he said, the Lord is my portion. What do you own, David? No, I own nothing but the Lord.
Amen.
If I own the Lord, whatever the Lord can provide is mine.
Amen.
The Lord is the portion of my inheritance.
Amen.
And my cup, he maintains my path. He keeps my place. Then he maintains my lot. So, if God is David's inheritance, then an inheritance is something that is passed down from your progenitors. So, if God was David's inheritance, where did he get it from? Who laid it down for him? Who laid aside this inheritance for him? It was Abraham. Because the promise was to Abraham and his seed.
Right.
Unto thee and thy seed are the promises made. So, when the Bible says that God was the God of Abraham, Abraham could boast to say that he owned him.
Right.
And how can I own him unless I cannot own him if he does not own me?
Amen.
Jesus puts it in this sense in John chapter 15. So I'm laying this foundation to help us as we want to go into, because we need to talk to ourselves. We're not talking to the Ephesian church now. They won't even hear us. We're not talking to the Smyrna church. They won't even hear us. But we are here today, and we are real people in Singapore, in everywhere, and wherever this message is going, whether you are in Canada, in America, everywhere, we need to address ourselves. Because we are in the now, in the present.
Right.
Now, in John chapter 15, Jesus says here, in from verse 4, let me just go up to verse 4 and read from this. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I read on. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered.
And men gathered them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
So now, this morning, David is speaking to us directly by revelation. He projects this message to the future. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But what if I don't feel like? What if I ate so much last night and I just don't feel good? Maybe I should make it another service. Maybe it's not actually necessary for us to have two services. I mean, isn't it too much for two services sometimes that we, like we're going to have today? Maybe this church thing should be, this fellowship thing should be once a month. At least, it's understandable. Once a month, we come, we enjoy Him, and then we can go. Praise the Lord. There is something in us that is always wanting to excuse us from the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
David said, I was glad. What part of David was glad? It was not his physical eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It was not his hands and his physical mind or what is tangible. It was his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because the soul has no proper occupant apart from the spirit of its maker.
Right.
It is the maker, when he comes into his place, there's a settled peace. What the kingdom of God means is there could be trouble in the world, but one who is, whom God resides inside of him, is in the kingdom of God. So the fire is burning, your body is feeling the heat, there are trial and tribulation everywhere, but you are not overtaken by that. You're not also overtaken by the comfort that you have. The comfort does not explain who you are. Neither will the pain explain who you are. But the Lord will explain who He is in you.
Amen.
Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will enter into His court with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter into His house with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, every time He comes, He says, this is the day. He was here last week, He said, this is the day. He's come again today, He said, this is the day. Which day is this? There is a day of the Holy Ghost in the heart. Amen. When it comes, that day is just that one day until we meet the perfect day. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, there is so much that we cannot actually understand, but it's going on when we come in fellowship. Why? The Bible says that angels are assigned to every one of us.
Amen.
Right. Each of us. If you have salvation, then there is an angel to your life.
Amen.
And it says these angels are called ministers. They are called spirits. Their body is a body of fire, and they make a wall of fire run about us. But you see, apart from this, what part of you is in the presence of the Lord, seated in heavenly places? It is not your face, it is not your hand, it is not this body. But there is a spirit within you that is activated in the presence of the Lord. And if you are not in His fellowship, how is that angel active? Some people fall into some things in their spiritual unconscious world in the dream, and they look for the word Jesus to say, they cannot.
Mm-hmm.
And they wake up regretting. Many people said that to me. They say, I was in this trouble. I just saw, because it's not all dreams that comes because you ate so much. Whether biryani or what we have yesterday, that thing was so nice. Misiam, yeah. It's not all the dreams that come from Misiam. But you see, there are spiritual dreams that are given to us.
And also, Satan also projects dreams to us because he cannot manipulate, he wants to manipulate your thoughts, your thinking. But when you have, whatever dream comes, you find yourself that you want to, there's a way you want to behave. And you are not able to live up to the standard in the subconscious. Something is wrong with your prayer life. Something is wrong with your fellowship life. Something is wrong with your word life. It is very important that we come in the presence of the Lord. Amen. When we come in the presence of the Lord, the wounded is healed. The sick has hope. The one that is depressed, whatever is oppressing such a one is lifted. Burdens are lifted when we come together. Right. Calvary is well understood because we come in fellowship. It's like fathers and mothers, parents. You know why? They love eating with the children. So that when they are eating with the children, that's when they know who is sick among them. They see who is not eating fine. They see the one that is eating, and while eating, he took a spoon of rice and then he waits a little and thinks something is wrong. Maybe he's bullied at school and he cannot say it. But the mother and the father, they will observe. The same thing, if that is happening in the physical, same thing is happening in the spiritual. As we come here, the Lord knows who is cheerful. The Lord knows who is depressed. He knows, you may not even need to tell him, but he will fix it. Right. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Right. What is that that is so strong that can keep you away from fellowship? Mm-hmm. What is that? That is so important. No matter how important that thing is, if the mayor of the city say, I love to see you, we've not met, but let me meet you at 9 p.m. some nights here, you will be there at 7. You will cancel the flight. Even that was the day you will fly, you will cancel it because you want to meet him. Mm-hmm. That is it. Right. But there is a greater than the mayor tonight. And the name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greater than the president is here. The name of the Lord Jesus, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given you an invitation. But it is a give and take thing. When the door of his house is open for him to come in, then you are in his house.
Amen.
Amen. Then people of like precious faith will need to come together. There is a healing that takes place when we sing. Amen. There is a restoration that takes place when we sing, when we pray. There is a mending. When the potter's house, there is a mending. Some things have gotten cracked, about to break. There is a mending. If you check each of us, life situations, if you were not in fellowship, you would have been destroyed ere long.
Mm-hmm.
Because the things that most of us have passed through is enough for people to take their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But this is where fellowship is important. Fellowship. When you walk by a tree and you see the leaves going, they are fellowshipping.
Right.
They are fellowshipping. Amen. The wind comes among them. That's the spirit blows on them. And they fellowship. And the leaf that never touched the other leaf, it will bend that way, and they give clap high five and say, yes, we are in fellowship. Yes, that's what fellowship does. It brings people from different backgrounds. It brings them together, and it expresses that one spirit, that one faith, and it proves that one God over all. That's what fellowship does. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our angels are made powerful when we are in fellowship. You see, it is sometimes very difficult to pray when you are alone. That's why the Bible says two are better than one. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the congregational prayers. There's something about fellowship. You know, you've seen the broomstick we use back in Africa and in India. Now, if you have that broom, even three pieces you can break. Scripture says the cord, one cord is easily broken. But when it comes together, binded together, it becomes, there's automatic elastic that is applied to it. So you keep turning, it's moving everywhere. You cannot break it. Yet, that particular product is made from something that is very fragile, that you can even use one hand and turn it over. It breaks. Mm-hmm. But when they come together, they work strong. This is why fellowship is very important. Fellowship everywhere. Fellowship as much as you can. And also fellowship within yourself. The Lord also wants you to have fellowship with Him when you are alone. Whereby you get into your closets. You are walking on the street and you get into your closets. And don't say close your eyes and then go when the green light has not shown you. But you are just there. You are living in between the two walls at the same time. Because it takes you away from the distraction. And you fellowship with your Maker. You fellowship with the Lord. From the within you. Amen. Even while you are driving, don't go that road. Change your course. And you know this is the easiest way that you should go. And then you change the course. And before you know, there's a jam here and something. Oh, that road is blocked. Oh, they say, okay, our vehicle stand back. But the Spirit of the Lord has given you insight ahead of time because you were in fellowship. When people don't talk, then they are going to destroy things.
Right.
That's why we need to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Not like North Korea. They don't talk. Amen. Better find a way of talking to them because we are so close. For us, we are very far. When they start launching, what they are not talking about, they start launching it, it's going to be disaster.
Right.
So fellowship, it brings us into talking. It brings us into sharing. It brings us, when they say, is there anybody that's got a testimony? What is a testimony? That's what you don't need to wait for one big thing. Oh, praise God, I'm good today. It's okay. God just wants you to say something to Him. Because He's saying everything to you. He's pouring out His mind to you. He's confessing to you. Confess also in return to Him.
Amen.
God wants us to fellowship. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, you know, the way Jesus puts it, when He said, if my word abide in you, if my word abide in you. Now, you know, the word is spoken as it is now. And we are supposed to hear with our ears. But that's not what, you know, this is natural. We just hear with our ears. But after you have heard, it comes in through here. Amen. But directly, when you are in fellowship, the words does not actually come in through here. They go directly. It bypasses this. It goes directly into your soul. Because your soul is an active force. It's a spirit. It hears. It goes directly. It has its own ear. It has its own eyes. It has its own mind. It has its own voice. It takes the word. It takes it directly. Interprets it. Or understands it the way the Lord wants it to be. And that's where the amen comes from. The amen does not come because we are listening to a good song. The amen does not just come like maybe there are better music out there. Even in the world. Yes. You can say, oh, there's nothing in the world. There's something there. That's why people are there. If there was nothing there, people would not be there. But there's something more special to us. Because we are made from a different planet.
Amen.
Amen. The planet of the Holy Ghost is not a place. Mm-hmm. Amen. It is the Word. It is the Word that had been from the foundation of the world. That the Word that was spoken for before, that was been from the foundation of the world, that actually makes us. And so we must respond to it. So when something bisects or interjects, come in between us and God, it breaks fellowship. There was a time that fellowship between Elijah and God was broken. Thou man of God, the king wants you, come down. And the prophet looked down and said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume you and your 50. Was that wickedness? Elijah was not doing his bidding. He was doing the mind of the Lord. And why did God do that? Because that man had come to disturb, hinder the fellowship between him and his prophet. Amen. God does not want anything to come in between you and Him. When it's time for Him, give Him that time. We don't really have that enough time for the Lord. If you check out the time that we spend in the week, how we do our things, He has given you the breath of life, He has given you health, He has given you strength. Even in sickness, you are still able to move around. Yes. That is the grace of God. It is the grace of God. So, when it is also time for you to pour out yourself to Him, to allow Him go around His palace, because there's a palace. Don't make it a tight corner. Oh Lord, you got to stand on one foot. You don't need to move. Just because I don't have time for you. And the Lord said, and Lord, you don't need to spend too much time. Do fast and leave. No, He wants liberty.
Right.
And He wants you, and that liberty is expressed even the way that you are
right.
In His presence. When we come into His presence, there is fullness of joy. Not happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Fullness of joy. There's gladness evermore. Angels are all around. A song says, we are standing on holy grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now.
Yes.
We are standing in His presence on holy grounds. If my word abide in you, and you abide in me, you will ask anything. You will ask anything. I was sharing with a sister yesterday in the house, in the house of Brother Henry, and people have different languages that they can understand. When you tell people, come to fellowship and let us have the word of God, they say, oh no, you know, these things, we know, it cannot be, we don't know whether it is true. How will you know if it is true if you don't test it?
Right.
You need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I was inside the train, because the scripture says here, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will ask anything and I will do it and you shall have it. Now, I know that we have prayed some prayers or many prayers that have not yet come the way we wanted it. The answers were not given. I have too many, maybe more than you. More, I have too many prayers like that, more than you do. Because you, maybe you are praying for yourselves and Singapore, you know the size. I'm praying for Nigeria, it's very big, you know. Praise the Lord. So I have many, many, many cases that I have prayed and expected the Lord to have rock it this way, and He didn't. Don't let that discourage you. Amen. It changed nothing. He is sovereign, and He wants you to understand Him that way. So one time I was in the train with Brother Hubert, and we were traveling somewhere, and you know the Indian train, so tight, everyone is standing, you only have standing space, no sitting space, and that standing space you have to be very strict. If you try to get tired a little, somebody will hit you to stand straight. You have to be straight. So, just standing there, and this woman and her daughter came in. As they just came in, not quite 5 minutes, she was taken in the feet. She fell in epilepsy. Ah! And I could understand that the Indians are very scared about people that have these feet. So, they start to excuse that coach, and they went to try to push themselves into other coaches, you know. So we had some space. A few minutes again, she fell. Wow. The more she fell, the more space we had. Until, because when she falls down, the spirit shakes her, you know.
Yes.
And she's going to be very rough and scattering everywhere. So the more space she had, the more she is going to do that. And people got scared and they started moving, because they said, oh, you don't allow the saliva to touch you. I was just there, but you know, in my heart, I wasn't thinking of anything. When you are not even thinking, that's when God wants to do something. When you don't even have a premonition about it. I was just there. And I just felt, I said, look at this, could be my younger sister. Wow. Oh Lord, have mercy. Just looking at that situation. And the old poor mother was just crying, and she was just crying, and the policeman, there was a policeman, and the policeman held the train door and he was looking outside. He doesn't want to get involved, just looking outside. The world have no answers to these things.
Yeah.
I know they've been to hospitals, they've been to gurus, and she was actually telling somebody there, I think the policeman, that she's going to a particular guru that they have heard of, that the man, they say he could fix this in a few days. And that she's going to many, she's suspended so much. Brother Hubert was introduced and was interpreting that to me. Then I said to Brother Hubert, tell her that we have a God that can heal that child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for once, Brother Hubert said to me, you say, but he heard me. He heard me clearly. You know, but because we have prayed many prayers and it didn't work the way we wanted it, so we will ask, are you sure, brother? No, our work is to pray. We are not to answer prayers. You pray. And stop trying to answer prayers. Stop advising God. Just pray. Prayer is not advising God.
Right.
Amen. But we try to advise the Lord. Said, Lord, I wish you had an advisor like me. I can help you around, you know. You see, you know what I'm doing in like in my farm, you know, the way I manage my farm, the way I manage my business, the way I manage my family, the way I live with my wife. I could advise you. God does not need your advice.
Right.
You just pray. But make sure before you pray, you are in Him and His word is in you.
Right.
That's when it's going to bear fruit. So I said, brother, tell her that we will pray for her. And walked up to this woman and spoke in Hindi. And she said, oh, how much? She was already reaching out to the boss to get money. She said, no. Son of a, like that? Then Hubert said, yes, she's ready. I said, another question. How will she know that this child is healed? She said, if she stopped falling, I know she is healed. Does she fall like this every time? She said, oh, she has this, that this is a sin. She will fall for about 10 days. And then we'll have a break. And that break is that she will fall maybe 3 times a day. But there is no day she doesn't fall. What a pain. Then I said, okay. Let us pray. Then I said to Brother Hubert, should I tell this woman about the 7 thunders? It will do her no good.
Right.
Do I tell her that God has sent a prophet, his name is William Branham?
Right.
It will do her no good.
Right.
Will I tell her about, what will I tell her?
Right.
There is a language that every language must understand is a spiritual language. When it crosses, the supernatural, when it crosses your path, you beg to understand it. You have no choice. Then I said to her, okay, we came to pray. And I prayed. She couldn't speak English. And she wasn't even understanding me. She didn't say amen. Hubert told her, amen. She said, what's that? Okay, amen. Okay. The prayer is done. And I went back, sat where I was sitting. After 6 minutes, she fell again. And the policeman did. The policeman was there. He just laughed. The woman said, Hubert, she fell again. And Hubert said to me, brother, nice. She said, she fell again. I said, I can understand that. Don't interpret. Don't interpret. Don't tell me that we have failed. Amen. When you pray, you have to wait.
Right.
Now, you see, that's what fellowship does for us.
Mm-hmm.
When we come into His presence, we come to wait. We learn how to wait. The better way of waiting is in fellowship. 10 minutes, she fell again. And the woman just knew all hope was lost to her. The third time, she fell again. And this time, the policeman turned and looked at me. He looked at me and really said, all these people. But probably that was what God was waiting for. For him to turn around and say it didn't work. That was the last time she fell. She didn't fall again. We traveled that long. And when we got to our destination, we got down. This woman was supposed to continue the trip. She said, no. My child is ill. I'm going to come with you. I said, but we are going for a fellowship. She said, I come anyway. I want to stay around you. Then she came. She spent days with us. At the end of the day, they were baptized. Now, she may not understand this, but really, she has understood that there is a supernatural force that is free. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you will ask me anything. When he says anything, he means it. Anything. Some of us have some situations in the family, in the marriage, and we don't want to talk about it. We just said, Lord, we're trying to fix it with our education, trying to fix it with our minds. That thing is so simple, but the more simple it is, the more God wants to get involved. Talk to him about it.
Amen.
Talk to him about it. Could be that, oh, I don't like my husband's nose. Talk to him about it, he will fix it. No, you don't laugh about it. Because, oh, when he was marrying me, his nose didn't get bent. Now he got bent. Okay, talk to him about it. I'm saying that little thing, as little as that, you know, it's irrelevant, for in a sense. But, please, understand me. I'm not trying to make a joke. It's irrelevant, but as small, as minute as that can be, talk to God about it.
Yes.
That's what fellowship is all about. He wants you to, he wants to know that you are aware of your dependency to him. You don't have independence. No. He has not given you that independence. The independence he gives to you is freedom from the world, not freedom from him. He frees you from the world, and you are in him, he is in you. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So the grace of God is made manifest in us by the presence of the word, by the presence of God, and by that fellowship that we share together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. In Jerusalem, there was no temple. Where is this house of the Lord? Are we going to Shiloh? That's not where David was headed. No. Where is this house of the Lord? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Right here. In my heart will meet with your heart when the Lord is present. Yes, sir. Our heart will meet together and we'll be able to learn forgiveness. We'll be able to learn how to let down the pressure. Amen. We will stop trying to be super beings, but get more humble to depend on the God who cared for us. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Like I read in Hebrews, when we come together, amen, when we come together, we experience this healing, this strength that comes from the fellowship that we have together. And the fellowship is not just with ourselves. We are not coming to meet ourselves as friends, no. But we come to meet the Lord because there is just one star, and we look up to that star, and you look up to that star, she looks up to the star, we will actually come to a point. And the Lord is the reason. Unto him shall the gathering of his people be. So that we will not think that everywhere we hear, praise the Lord, we go in there. No. We're not looking for a stage and an audience. No. We are looking for fellowship. And that fellowship is anywhere that the Lord is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. So we do not know what we miss when you meet a brother or a sister and two of you are there. You can move something. You can move emotion.
Right.
As the Senate of Heaven is represented by two of you. You just need two. two majority. That's all what you need. You don't even need to be 10. In the tabernacle those days, in the synagogues, when they were not up to 10, they could not fellowship. So when there were 9 persons, they wait for the find the number 10 man. And they say, oh, do you feel like fellowship? Do you feel like fellowshipping? Then the 10th person come. So Jesus came and said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So he's here. He's here. Not because we have chosen this place as a place of worship, but also, if there is a spiritual throne of God, there is also a place that we come together to meet. And that place is anywhere we meet. If we meet at the train station and we are 2 of us, we could fellowship together.
Right.
We could fellowship. The last time I came, I told you something. That God, He speaks to you even when you think He's not speaking. Okay? Now, some people have dreams. Some people, they say, oh, my mind is telling me something. What's your mind telling you? Your mind can't tell you anything except the things that concerns you. But now, right, you just sit down and then you thought about a brother. You didn't see him for some time and you just flashed your heart. Just flashed in your mind. It's not your thinking. It is the Lord that is dropping that. And He wants you to communicate with Him. And He wants, because God has no mouth except yours. He has no eyes except yours. See for Him. Speak for Him. He has no life except yours. Live for Him. He has put your life, His life in you. He has given His life. Amen. By His Son. Through His Son, He gave His life. And now He wants that life to live in the body. We are the body of Christ when we come together. So He lives in you. He lives in us. So you have to live for Him. Speak for Him. See for Him. Walk for Him. Go for Him. Everywhere, whatever you are, whatever you do, you are an ambassador of heaven on earth. Do for Him. You have to represent Him well, so that He will not be ashamed of you, and you will not also be ashamed of Him. So I was saying that time that if you have such, or you wake up in the night and then you just remembered somebody, there's no wrong in just spending even 2 minutes. It's too much a time just to say something. You don't determine what the time is. Just, oh Lord, I just thank you. I just have this thought about this brother. If he's in any trouble, Lord help him. Give him strength and your word find a place in his heart.
Right.
You have fellowshiped. You have done something. You have moved mountain without knowing. Without knowing, you have done something. But to you, it's too small. God is interested in those little details. He's very interested in those small things.
Mm-hmm.
So, scripture says, my last scripture I'm going to read, say something in the annals of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I was glad when they said unto him, oh, let us go to the house of the Lord. I pray that my own attitude towards His house will change. Even as I go back. Amen. And I also pray that you will do something about it.
Amen.
The last verse in Hebrews chapter 11 says, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Right.
Now, each time I read this scripture, I get scared. Oh, wow. God is over expecting from us somehow. Do you know what that means? Before you finish this, allowing this to settle in your heart, let me remind you. Okay, scripture is saying here that without us, they, be careful to know who they really are, or who they were in their days. Without me and you, Joshua will not be made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Say it that way, so that you can be serious. Without me, without you, David will not be made perfect. Joshua, he asked the sun to stand still. Amen. And it did. And without us here, he will not be made perfect. And I'm not even coming to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I really am working against Joshua from being perfect when I choose to be a loner. Let me help you. If there is a problem in the fellowship, what should we do? I give an example. Maybe there is a serious matter, a serious problem. Maybe it concerns the pastor or the leadership. And we cannot just find out how to solve this problem. The worst thing to do is to pick up your Bible and move from one fellowship to another fellowship. That's not what to do. You will first understand that we Gentiles, the believers amongst the Gentiles, are spiritual Israelites. Are you aware?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, if it happened in Israel, because there was just one temple, you know that? There was just one temple. And God was not in confusion. God was never the author of confusion. So, if there is a disagreement somewhere, and I am wounded, what I need to do first is to go home and sit down. Not to look for another place to fellowship. I tell you, wait. Amen. Go back home and sit. And be careful not to sit too long. And because we always want judgment to be in our favor.
Right.
There will be no problem if our ego is not offended, is not touched.
Mm-hmm.
It's about my personality. It's no. The personality will not die with you.
Mm-hmm.
That thing that is influencing that personality will excuse you moments before death. You say, no, I can't die. Please. I don't have the grace to die. You die. But that is what you have protected. And you have hindered fellowship. Praise the Lord. It's not supposed to be so. Amen. So, there's a problem. And I seem not to be able to fix it immediately. I just excuse myself. And I humble myself and have an x-ray. A self x-ray. Amen. Now, then, make yourself reachable. If you are sincere, that we are all seated nicely today does not mean that we're not going to have one or two friction tomorrow. It may come. No matter, even though we are very close. Oh, sister, I can never offend you. No, you are not the one. You can never offend her, but the devil will offend her through you. The devil will also offend me through you. The devil will also offend you through me. Amen. But when it comes, how many of us will dare to remember that it is the devil? The owner of the farm said, an enemy has done this.
Right.
He did not accuse the workers. Even if the enemy had mixed the crops or the seeds in the hands of the workers, the maker still did not accuse any of his people. He said, an enemy had done this. If we are really in fellowship and we appreciate fellowship, it will help us to know that when we meet together after some time, we should come to reality to know that there is only one enemy, like the song we have sung a while ago. There is only one enemy. And that enemy is none of you.
Mm-hmm.
That enemy is none of our brothers and sisters that may have left us. No, they are not the enemy. No, and they will never be. I'm not even talking about those who left not for doctrinal problems. Even those who left far because of doctrines or because of what people have said, they are not our enemies. Even those that may have wounded you some way, one way or the other, they are not the enemy. An enemy has done this. Who is this enemy? It's the same enemy. He was not originally our enemy. He was God's enemy. And because we are God's children, that enemy will hate God's children.
Right.
They, without us, will not be made perfect.
Right.
And if we have this at the back of our mind, then we should be careful to see that Joshua, he stood worshipping a long time. Joshua, he fought physically. He was put in a strait many times. David was in a place that they needed, they had no food. Oh brother, they had no food. They had to go into the temple, into the house of the Lord to get what? Show bread.
Right.
To eat. So as to continue the fight. David. What about Jonathan? What about Daniel? He had to be castrated because he was taken in captivity. And he was in the king's palace. Oh, he cannot be left alone. He was castrated. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But all these men, they wrought valiant things, great works. And yet, scripture says, they without us. Whatever they have achieved without us. And here are we are here. Thinking that we are bored. Thinking that this routine, this is a routine. No, it is not a rudiment. No, it's not that routine, that normal worldly routine. It's a spiritual walk. It's a fellowship. God in His church. God in His bride. God in His people. If it's there, then let it produce the fruits.
Amen.
They say, they will, if I am in you and you are in me, you will bear fruits.
Amen.
Let it now bear the fruits.
Amen.
A believer is a light bringer.
Mm-hmm.
He turn on the light. I'm going to tell you one other testimony. I just remember India. One other testimony. I was stranded in India in 2005. I've shared that testimony here before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taken, I went to Hyderabad. It was not where I was to go to. I've never heard those Indian names, so everything looked the same to me. So I went to the third one, the one that was easily pronounced. Amen. Faith makes you do foolish things in the eyes of the world.
Right.
But you will not understand until we get the result. So here am I standing, temperature 36-37 degrees Celsius, very hot. I was just marking time. Because of the heat, could not stand still one place. And this brother, one man came forward, was passing. His name is Isaac Raju. And he said to me, "Are you a servant of God?" Because I missed the bag, I missed the bus in the airport in Bombay, in Mumbai. I was concerned about my properties, and situations interpret you. Yes, and that's what Satan wants. He wants you to be called by the problems you have. But that's not your name. You have a name. Are you a servant of God? And then I suddenly woke up to realize, oh, you're by the grace of God. He invited me home. So I'm going to jump that part of the testimony. But this is, every day, he took me to a place and I was speaking the word of God to people on the streets. I don't think I could do that today any longer because since my friend Modi came, things have changed. He has barred me from entering India. I have left this India to him, but I'm in contact with my people. Thank God for the internet. Amen. So I will be there in the streets in a place called Lokunta in the High Sukrindabad. A little deeper inside. I was talking to people and people were giving their lives, were listening. Under a tree, you know, and a particular woman will come each day with a glass of water and having something covered on it. Very chilled water. She comes. She just give me the water. And for me, I'm very careful about water. So I'm thinking, where is this water from? And did she wash her hands? But from the inside, I was pressed to accept this water. So I took from her, thank you. Oh, and we, even after she knew that we were two, myself and the interpreter, she only bring the water for me. So I would drink this one. The first day I drank the water, I drank like because I don't want my it to, I'm using my mouth as a filter, my lips as a filter. Amen. This happened 7 days I preached. The 8th day I was going to leave India to another place. I think I was coming to Singapore. And on that 8th day I was just in the house with Raju and his wife and children, sharing with them. And suddenly I said, I've got this $20. Let me go and look for this Indian woman and give to her. Ah, that she had done so well. Can you imagine the heat? It must have been God that touched her to be bringing this water. And how did she even know? Because she came the very first day I started preaching to give me water. And she gave me this water for one full week. So he took his motorcycle, we went in here. We searched everywhere. She was nowhere to be found. We searched for 2 hours. We waited. Then I said to Raju, could be this man was a ghost. And I drank water from the ghost world. Then I said, okay, let's go back. As we're going, here comes this woman without water in her hand. And I said, oh, we turn back. She doesn't speak English, so my friend Raju is interpreting. Oh, this the pastor wants to go back and he wants to say thank you and he's got something for you. So it would be easy for me to just put my hand in the pocket and give to her this my $20 that I wanted to give to her. But then I ask her, where is your house? That's where the problem was.
Yes.
Where is your house? She said, no, don't talk about house. We don't have a house. I said, no, but the water was coming from somewhere. Where is the house? I insist. I want to. Then she said, okay, but you won't like where I'm living. She brought my servant Raju. We got to this place. Now, we passed all the houses. What is called houses, you know, houses made with at least the height of every house, an average house. We passed everything and we're heading into the ravines where they are keeping the dead and the bushes. Are we going to take a train? Said, oh no, just brought us, turn, bend the corner, and there was a shaft. Yeah, a shack. What do you call it? The shack.
Shack.
Now, first, the first impression is my height was taller than the house. So on here it was made with all kinds of material in this world. The bonnet of a pickup van, I recognize it to be a Tata pickup Jeep van, you know.
Yeah.
Then the cartons, some plastic rubbers, and then the man sat inside, but his legs were just at the door. His feet were just showing at the door. No cotton, nothing, just there. He said, come in. He spoke with the husband, and then we bent down and we entered. We had to stay this way. When you are there, you are humbled. So we just humbled this way. But when we got there, I said, is this where you stay? But I just spoke to her, yes, this is where we stay. And I thought of the water first. Then I left the water. I said, my God, how can a human being? I said, we say we are poor in Africa, don't see a place like this. What is this? how did this happen? And then I said, carelessly, God is able to give you a house. And my interpreter said that. And that offended the man. He looked at me, stood up, just used his left hand, shoved me like a bad spirit. And he walked away. He eased and walked away. But, brethren, I want you to understand something. Even as I'm telling you this testimony, I catch a feeling of what that afternoon was like. I was broken in the inside of me. I don't know why I demanded to see the house of this woman that was giving me that cup of water, that glass of water, every day I preached. And then, deep, I broke into tears. And I said to her, I speak the truth from my heart in the name of Jesus Christ. God will repay you for this water. I see that there is no water around you. You have to, you were buying that water. And you brought that water for me. May the Lord reward you by giving you a place to live like a human being. Because tree, birds, they have nest. The foxes, they have holes. So you got to lay your head in a place. What if a wild beast comes in here and beats you up? He said, oh, we have no money to rent a house that we can't rent. I said, I'm not talking about a rentage. I'm talking about your house. God is able to do it. Now, that was just a careless talk. How would it happen? Where will she begin with? Where will he get a job to start going to save money now to rent and then to build a house or to buy one flat? And I prayed, and then $20 seemed too small for me to give her. I reached out. I was only having a $200 there. I had to give her $100. Just whatever you can do with it, just. Then I walked away. I traveled, came down here, went to Vietnam, finished up, and then I was going back 1st October 2005. So my pastor was going back to Hyderabad from Singapore. I landed at Hyderabad, cleared by the immigrations, and I saw Brother Raju with his wife and some believers that we've started a small fellowship there. But I saw another sister, a new sister, and she was more joyous than everybody that was there. She was just vibrating this way. And soon as I broke from the customs and I was coming, Raju was running fast. She ran faster. And she came, she jumped. Oh! I said, what happened? What was this? I said, no, take it. It's a brand nice. He said, you don't know her? I said, no, we thought met. And they were playing with me. Really? This person, I have not met her. But then, a tall looking man just came up and just embraced me and said, oh, brother. I said, you, I can know you. You are not my brother. He said, no, he's baptized. I said, this, are you the husband of this woman? Are you the woman that gave me water? Yes. We have our house now. And then I began to say, how can you have your house now? From where? From the moon. Amen. God works when we think less. When we learn not to worry about it. If we can cast our care upon Him, He cares. That's His work to do. How did it happen? She has changed. She was looking like an over 50 year woman, but now she's looking in her 30s. What has happened? What has happened? I said to them, I'm not going anywhere. Tell me the testimony here. 2 weeks after I left, 2 weeks after I left that house, that shack, this Indian company was producing for a Korean company. And they had a mandate to deliver the job, that you know, and they had to work day and night. And suddenly, just around that area where the shack was, the life wire cut off. And was hanging down, causing a lot of sparks. And it was a Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. So they could not reach, they got to the, what they call it, the power authority. They were not, you know, everyone else was waiting for Monday. And they were confused, looking for what to do. And then this They met this man who is hanging there and said, maybe you should ask, can you get anybody that can help us, electrician or whatever? The man said, I can do it. What will you do? Don't worry. He went and got this dry stick, very dry one, and make it this way. And then he lifted up the life wire, because there's power there, and turned it. And then he got the ladder and started going up. Then he fixed it. It took time. It would fall off. It took again. And it managed to stay. But just as it was staying and the people confirmed that there is power, the police came. Yeah, what are you doing there? You try to steal the materials? You try to cut the wire? You're vandals or whatever? Oh, no. We're a company, we are doing production here, and then we have called all the necessary numbers. No one is attending to us. So, who is this man up there? He's our chief engineer. Okay, chief engineer, calm down. Okay. Then, here comes this man coming down, and every question they were trying to ask him, these people, the company was trying to answer on his behalf. Oh no, he was sleeping. We just had to call him. He was even on duty, but we cannot wait till tomorrow because look, you know. Okay, no. So the policeman took a photograph of their vehicle, took a photograph of the chief engineer, and said, okay, bring him to the office tomorrow at 9, or maybe at 10 in the morning. Brethren, God works in mysterious ways.
Amen.
You are thinking you're going to, by strength shall no man prevail. But if there is the word of God spoken in truth and in sincerity, God watches over his work to bring it to pass. So what happened? Next day, okay, they asked him, chief engineer, where do you live? And he pointed the shack. No, we can't bring you. Don't tell anybody you live here. We're going to give you a house. In the morning, they bought a house. They bought a flat for him. Okay, that's your address. And then they had to open a bank account. Then they had to call the police. Please, we cannot come because, you know, we are just fixing one or two things. We'll be there at noon. They did all of these things and gave him an ID card as an engineer with them, a technician with them. And then they brought him and said, don't speak too much. Don't answer so many questions. Just tell them that you're just a technician working with us. They got to the office. Waiting for the commissioner. The commissioner came. Yes, who are these people? Yes, these are the people they were trying to. But we later saw that the company, they took the wires and things that. So, okay, are they a real company? Yes, okay, no problem, they can go. That's all! They can go! No confirmation of his ID card. Oh no, they asked him, where's your ID card? Oh, this is his ID card. Finish. Go! And they walked outside. And when they got out there, they said, okay, now we're going to take back this. And he said, oh, no, I'm going to tell them that I'm not. Okay, no. We give you employment. You just walk. We'll be taking the money out so that you can pay for the house. But he got a job, and he's in the house.
Amen.
That's what God did. But how would you ever think that that can happen? He works in mysterious ways. He wants us to be available. He wants us to be present, to be used. If you are present, he's going to use you. God does not use who is not available. Now, if you don't want God to use you for somebody, then he will not use another person for you. That's where fellowship comes. They without us cannot be made perfect. And you see their life of prayer, their life of service, their worship, their power, their strength, the grace that the life, the trial that they went through. But without us, and we are so relaxed, I encourage you this morning, as I end this message, fellowship is very important.
Amen.
Let nothing keep us away from fellowship.
Amen.
Let it be the beginning of our day. Let it be the beginning of our week. If we have fellowship at 8 p.m., put it up as priority. And then 8 p.m., then I wake up at 5 a.m. I wake up, I have breakfast at 7 a.m. I go to office at 9. I close at 3. I catch the train at 6. I do this. Then 8 p.m. comes back. You put it at the end again. Put your timetable that way. God first. He wants to be first in your lives. And when you don't make him first, then he's not there. Because God does not know how to follow. May the Lord bless you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. We shall bow our heads this morning. And we just pray. And I'd like you to talk to the Lord humbly. If you have handled the issues about the fellowship, just anyhow, as a pinch of salt, you've not opened your heart. You've not opened your heart. You just talk to the Lord. If you have maybe in any way avoided and excused yourself, and you don't know that it is a post of duty, it is a post of duty. You are not helping God by coming, but you are in a post of duty. You are duty bound to be here and to support the work of the Lord, and the Lord also support you. Ask the Lord, give me grace. Just talk to him, redeem yourself, and he is hearing you, and he is fellowshipping with you because he wants to fellowship. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you because we know you are blessed to die for this world. Yes, Lord. One, yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning, this afternoon, for your big blessings, grace that you have showered upon us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that is present, O God, to direct and to lead. Oh, we are sorry, Lord, for all the excuses we have made in the past, even from when we were growing up to this time of our realization of ourselves. But we know, Lord, that in the days of ignorance you whipped us. But now you command every flesh to come to repentance. Yeah. I pray this afternoon, Lord, that your peace will rest in our soul. And that our hearts will be open for you to come in and dwell in it. And that we may dwell in you. And we can say like David, that the Lord is a portion of our inheritance. Yeah. Holy Ghost divine, heal every sick one. Every weakness may you remove. Every discouragement may you take away. Whatever Satan is using to bisect us, move it away. Let the peace of the Lord reign in our lives. Let the power and the glory return. And let the bright be strong. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Oh, bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, it's good that we have always some ministers to come here and put fire on your back. And I say, you know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, and it's very true. People get used to somebody all the time that we don't think much about what is being said. You all know me all this time, but you always see me in the pulpit. And you take it for granted, I guess. And I think the same thing goes for Brother Nice in his own home. Yes. People will take him for granted too.
Yes.
That's what a fivefold ministry, the minister has to crisscross and build up the body of Christ in faith. They over there in Nigeria, without us too, they're not made perfect. Because we are all interlocked together as a house of God. Whether you are, you know, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago back then, they without us cannot be made perfect. We're not complete. You know. And I said this many times with our attitude when we come to the house of the Lord. I said this very time, very true. Your relationship with God is very important. You know, you got to examine yourself. I don't have worries until worry worries me, and then I would say hakuna matata. You know, no worries. Whether it's my kidney stone problem, my throat problem, whatever that may be, you know, it's just one of those things. But when we get so worried about things like that in this physical life, we have a problem. We really have a problem. Because this is the day that the Lord has made.
And tomorrow comes again, he says the same thing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday is not that this is the day. Yesterday is just the day. It's not this is the day. Tomorrow is not this is the day, because he hasn't come. Because God is the I am that I am. He walks in the present. He walks with you in the present. You see. And that's why the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I said this many times. Where do you get the joy of the Lord? You cannot have the joy of the Lord. You cannot really have real joy of the Lord if you don't have the Word of God in you.
That's true.
Because that's where the strength of the Lord comes through. Comes through, yeah? To you. You see. You understand that it's the Word that gives you the joy, because Christ Himself said, I am the life, I am the resurrection, I am the bread from heaven. And He said He promised to give us abundant life. A life more abundantly. And that is true. You know. And really work, God works a miracle in different ways. And perhaps you never really heard a lot about testimony from different ones around the world. You know, even a brother, Osar over there in the Philippines. You know, he had been through a lot of wonderful, experiences in his life, and miracles that happened in his ministry. You know. So, each and every one of us, you might say, I'm not a preacher. I don't know what God wants me to do. But He already told you, you know. What the Lord wants you to do is to stay in fellowship with Him and with one another. Fellowship around the Word of God. You see, and that's very, very important. You know. Amen.
Amen.
I know that, those who are not believing what we believe, it doesn't matter here. I can fellowship with any Christian. Whatever denomination, sit down, we can, fellowship around the world. You see. Because every one of us have a place. And you need to find your place. And it's what he said, as Bob Ben said, those out there, whether you're Methodist, what the Methodists did in those days, building hospital, mission work, and outreach to the sick and, to the poor, to the orphanage, building orphanage. Well, they have their reward, right?
Yes.
So everyone have their place, you see. But when if we are called up to come up higher, then we come up higher. We don't just to be where in the first door. Behold, I stand in the door and knock. You open up to me, I come and sup with you. Not just that. But the voice that called from above, come up higher, John. Come up higher. See, so when you get up to higher, if we can hear the voice, become higher, we stay in a better place, a higher place. Because you are calling on to a higher ground. And not many people wanted to climb on to a higher ground. And that's why in the book of Revelation, we see that the new holy city, New Jerusalem, is in the shape of a cube. A shape of a pyramid. You know, and so the higher you climb, the few will be there. Because many people don't want to climb because it's too hard. You know, and they want to stay at the bottom. You see. Well, that's what, sure, in the kingdom of God, there will always be the echelons of a structure there. You know. So in the future, when the heavenly city, holy city is built, where are you going to be? Where do you want to be? Some people say, I don't mind staying just to be on the floor, on the ground floor. That's your place if you don't want it. You see. But don't always forget. You know. The higher you go up, the safer you will be. And that's for sure. Because in the book of Revelation, where we see, when John said, I saw, a lot of sand, a lot of, a crowd of people standing before the throne of God. And he was asking, who are these people? They said, they are there that came out of great tribulation. They are those that came out of the great tribulation. So that's what the base is. Because you don't want to climb higher, you go through a tribulation. People, I said this many times. Many, the message I said, many people want to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven.
Yes.
But nobody wants to die.
Nobody wants to die.
So they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die to self. And you know that there is many people go to churches. They go to church, but they want to go to heaven, but they don't really die to self. And if they don't die to self, this is just part of the puzzle that, you know, God has to deal with them. And put them out in tribulation to make to let them say, you love me, you make a stand. If you cannot make a stand right now, this is the day that is now. You cannot make the stand. You go out there and make the stand in the future. And I don't think I want to go there in the future and make the kind of stand. Because it's very uncomfortable. I mean, I can have my help. If now we are living in a world where we're taken, you know, and you confess that you are a Christian, say, I, you know, your hair will be cut off. I said, that's right. I know that I will, my hair can be separate from my body. No problem. All right, bend down. Bring your head, stick your head out. And they just stick your head out. One strip of the samurai sword or whatever sword they're going to use, a guillotine, is a spark of light pump and you're gone. I don't mind doing that right here, but in the future, the problem is that there will be all kinds of tortures and all kinds of things that you go through. And I don't think you like to die slowly. I don't think you want to die slowly when there's no food and people are beating up. And that's what happened in 70 AD in Jerusalem when the Roman government came, or Roman army came. They lay siege, you know, to almost more than 4 months, I believe. Food ran out. Children, how do you feel? You and a mama. If you are just said, you know, let it not be that in that your flight be winter or that you are giving a child suck.
Yes.
And then you have no food. Oh, and then where is the milk for your baby? And who is going to die first? The old one that will die first, and then the younger one, or the baby, will die. And they eat the baby. Read the book of Josephus. They eat. Yeah. The same thing in the Second World War. When there was famine. You know, I mean, not the famine, when there were places where the food could not get through. Soldiers themselves, the Russian soldiers, German soldiers, they were crossing. They want to go and still continue to fight. They refused to surrender. Months, they got no food. They even want to eat somebody.
Yes.
Unbelievable. When you're hungry, go look at what's on maybe National Geographic,
yes,
on Netflix, Second World War. See they show footage of baby, just little toddler sitting on there.
About
to die. All over the place. Old lady, all this, all laying down. Just dying.
Dying.
You want to go through that? Go ahead. For me, this is the day.
Amen.
This is the day that I walk with the Lord. This is the day that I walk close to Him. That's why, as I say, everywhere you go, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. When you go into the toilet and take a shower, raise your voice and sing and praise the Lord. You know what you can do? That's why I'll keep on doing. That's why that song came in dead into my mouth. Mm-hmm. I just want to praise Him. I just say, no, no, twice a day, there was a time when my heart was so lonely. You know, and that presence of the Lord just come. You can be anywhere. You just praise the Lord, sing to the Lord in your heart. It's a whole lot of different in this life. You know, and when I go out once a week or twice a week, I bring my backpack. Yesterday, you know, you get a backpack. Inside there is books with me. I go, sometimes I just go out, eat, yeah, hopefully to say I can talk to somebody. You know, witness to somebody. You see? Or take a track, somebody aware, some track snag, you know. Just talk to somebody. If you can just, hopefully, praise the Lord, Lord, there's someone there I can talk to. I mean, you don't want to just go simply go someone who's eating, hey, I'll talk. Say, come, you see, I'm eating. Of course, you know, you let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because we're in Singapore, where, you know, the gospel is quite saturated here, right? We are not like in India. People never heard about God even, about the Lord Jesus, or in part of Africa. But in Singapore, we're just prayerful that the Lord will lead you so that you can talk to somebody, you know, and get him to see or her to see the interest. And then he needs to build the Lord, just open up. Amen.